Hi, this is the Dill and Friends podcast. I'm Deborah, Dylan's mum. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you like the show as much as I do. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
G'day guys, and welcome to another episode of Dill and Friends. What an absolute pleasure I have in introducing my next guest. Absolute champion, 121 game, superstar, captain of the GWS Giants, Phil Davis. Phil, thanks for coming on the show, mate.
Dylan, thank you very much for having me. I'm nervous and excited and can't wait to see what your cheeky little face has got for me.
Don't be nervous. We're all friends here. I'd never stitch up a mate, and it's good to have you on the show, mate. And I actually was a little bit worried because we did organise this a couple of weeks ago. But in between that and it happening, we had a bit of a mishap at training last week.
Yeah, our friendship got tested.
You actually headbutted me in the elbow.
I bruised your elbow. I bruised your elbow.
You headbutted me in the elbow.
Yeah, it was a tough time. For those who don't know, I don't really like tackling drills.
Neither do I.
And I decided to try to tackle Dill, and somehow I heat-seeked his elbow on my eyebrow. Some would say deliberately because I missed the last 3 minutes of the tackling drill.
I was already having a pretty rough day. Best thing about that is when someone gets down in the tackling drill and you're tackling them, you don't have to tackle either. So you just stand there like, oh, come on, mate.
Are you all right?
You're all right.
It was a sad moment. It blew up. Poor the physios and Merv, the trainer, they came up to me and were asking if I was all right, and I told them very quickly to leave me alone because I wasn't in a great mood. And fortunately, I had a nice little bruise on my eyebrow for a while there.
It looked good.
Yeah, your elbow all right, though?
It's not bad.
It's straight now. It's a bit like my thigh muller, isn't there? Not a lot of straightness there.
So I think I might have to miss tackling this week as well. Mate, let's get into it. It's a great story. That we're going to talk about today, yourself, you're a great man. But where do we start? I suppose it's growing up.
A lot of conjecture about my growing up.
That's what I want to talk about. That's what I really want to talk about. So basically, history shows you were born in Canberra.
Yeah.
You moved to Adelaide.
Yeah.
Now, as I've known you, you've always called yourself a proud South Australian.
Correct.
So I just want to get to the bottom of it now. What are you? Because obviously we're at the Giants now. We're in beautiful Western Sydney. It's an absolute fantastic day. It's quite early in the morning. It's probably about 40 degrees out here. So Canberra obviously is affiliated with us, playing there this week. But then again, you say from South Australia, where you had a great 3-year career there at the Crows. what's the go with that, mate?
I love the use of the word great. I reckon all the fans in Adelaide would totally agree. Oh, it's a difficult one. Life's subjective, isn't it? But unfortunately for me, I'm no matter what I say, I get bagged either way. But no, I was born in Canberra. I lived there till I was 12. And then I moved to Adelaide and spent about 10 years there. But I'm all about your formative years.
Yeah, okay.
I don't remember 0 to 6.
Yeah,
like, fair. What did you do when you were 4? Well, you don't remember, mate.
It's actually funny you say that because I don't remember. But I'm from Ballarat. So I'm a proud Victorian.
Haven't you washed your hands clean of that one?
Yeah, exactly. But I'm proud of it. I'm very proud of it. Ballarat is an absolute God's country down there. It is probably the coldest place on earth. I lived there from 0 to 2.
So why are you and Hopper are such good friends?
Well, Hopper's not actually from Ballarat. I was born at St. John of God Hospital. Dad was coaching down there at the mighty North Ballarat Roosters.
Oh, yep. My Roosters were called off for one.
Me and my sister were both born down in Ballarat. But yeah, I'm proud. On the passport says Ballarat.
Nice.
People always, shocked to find that out, but I'm a proud Ballaratian. I have one memory of Ballarat. I was about 3 years old. I was in this pool in Ballarat, believe it or not, and I stepped on a frog.
Nice.
That's my one memory.
Didn't kiss it?
Might have. Don't remember.
That's a toad, isn't it? Whoopsie, I got that one wrong. I'm proud to say I was born in Canberra, but I just associate more with Adelaide. And
yeah.
Canberra's a beautiful part of the world, and don't we just love going down there and seeing the politicians and kissing babies down there?
Canberra's beautiful.
I'd play for South Australia. If I got picked, I'd play for South Australia. Okay. But if I didn't get picked, I'd probably try to get picked for the Allies as well.
Okay.
I'd do whatever it took.
Yes. South Australia, funny place while we're on the topic. This wasn't planned, but it is a funny place because, look, I've been lucky enough to be on a list for 8 years now. And the funny thing about AFL football is you meet some funny guys, right? And guys you probably wouldn't meet otherwise. But I always found, especially when I was at Carlton, they drafted the weirdest blokes from South Australia. Like, they're always just still genuinely the weirdest guys I've ever met.
Oh, we're different. There's no doubt about that. I think You know, I thought Adelaide was a big city moving from Canberra. I thought, oh, wow, look at me go here. 1.1 million people. Everything's here. You know, I saw my first homeless person in Adelaide. Like, it was a really big growing experience. And then, yeah, the people are different. We say things differently. But, yes. Yeah, we're strange. Quilt. I know, and the quilt.
That annoys me.
I think it's Queensland says peel, but, you know, chance, dance, chance, France, yeah. Circumstance.
Yeah.
That cop a fair bit of that graph. But no, we're definitely different. I remember when I first started the Giants, we had a few South Australians, and Craig Lambert used to say that I was, for a South Australian, I was okay. And that's when I started to realise that a rep of South Australians wasn't super strong.
Yeah, it's not great. So that decision to leave Adelaide then, obviously, so we're fast forwarding. I'm just going to skip over that because there's a lot to get through today and we're going to get
there. Yeah, that's more of an open line topic.
You're playing footy, you're going really well, 18, get drafted, pick 10, Adelaide, you're there. So you're homegrown, we'll say homegrown. Go to Adelaide, you're there. You're the next captain of Adelaide. That's what they're touting you as.
Yeah.
Honestly, because if you haven't already, there's a video on YouTube. I was going to say something else then. It's on YouTube. And it's of Phil, the decision when Phil left Adelaide to announce that he was coming to the Giants. And it's one of the most awkward videos.
It has to be top few. I should watch that. I've never rewatched it.
You handled yourself so well. Like, I've never seen someone in a press conference. You were 20 years of age this time. You've literally handled yourself as good as I've ever seen. But the bloke from Adelaide, I can't remember his name.
Phil Harper,
was literally just having a dig at you the whole time. It was, like, so immature. I'm pretty immature, but that was pretty immature. And the press are just absolutely hammering you with these questions about your decision to leave Adelaide for Giants.
We picked him because he was a quality player. We used pick number 10, and we're disappointed, absolutely 100% disappointed to lose him. But yeah, now he's the enemy, and he'll be treated as such.
What are your memories of that? And mate, what was the whole situation like when you were leaving that club?
We'll talk about that presser first. I made two mistakes. One, that shirt.
I like the shirt.
No, but the problem was you shouldn't.
I like because it was a butterfly cut.
But you also shouldn't wear stripes on TV because if they're too close, they actually merge and look a little bit weird. So that was a mistake. I learned that.
Note to self.
Second mistake was my haircut.
I liked the haircut.
It was very short. I think a mate of mine who I played with then and I used to get 2-for-1 deals.
Yeah. Shirt and cart.
So that was, that's how we got to that situation. That was disappointing, but it was a strange, the whole day, well, that day was really quite weird, but we won't go into too much detail, but I basically walked in the morning and told everyone I was leaving. I was kind of emotional, which is kind of weird. I chose to leave, it was pretty emotional.
Yep.
But I tried to tell the CEO, head of footy, a few people in the morning at 8 o'clock.
Mm.
A couple of them didn't show up because they already knew the news.
Okay.
That was a bit disappointing.
Maybe stuck in traffic.
Adelaide's busy.
Very busy.
And then, yeah, went to a press conference and just got bagged from pillar to post. So that was good by Phil, so I appreciated that. I understand that they're frustrated. You know, we've had lots of players leave from the Giants. It's always sad to see young players leave, and I get... You got to sell a message to the members, and I hold no grudges there. But for a 20-year-old to be sitting there just copying that, one thing I was happy about was my seat was a bit higher.
Yeah, I looked a little bit taller,
cool. Which was I thought was a little win, a little moral win there for me. But it was a strange thing. It was a strange time because I hurt my shoulder in round 4 and missed 19 weeks that year.
Yeah, and so because they actually said they were going to play, they would have played you for the rest of the year. Yeah. If you weren't injured and then let you go, do you reckon they would have or not?
I wouldn't have told them I was going to leave.
Yeah, true.
We've done the warty.
Idiot.
It's called the cow ward when you just don't tell them what you're going to do and just keep playing and playing and playing. Same with this Tom Scully. but Adelaide were fantastic to me. I love my time in Adelaide. Yeah. It was a really hard decision to leave. There's a couple of things. Obviously, I wanted to win and I thought the Giants were going to be super successful and we haven't got there yet, but we're going to be better. Building a game in New South Wales was a cool thing and obviously financially it was rewarding too and I think it's all worked out pretty well for me. I've loved my time up here. It's been awesome. Meet people like you and other guys up here. It's been great. I've still got my friends in Adelaide who I still talk to.
Yeah. It's great, mate. And I love it up here as well. It's a very similar sort of situation to how I got here, I suppose. But with yours, it was sort of like...
We're both uncontracted.
Yeah, we're both uncontracted.
We're both out of contract.
It was purely my decision to leave.
What it's all about. And more rewarding.
Financially more rewarding.
Chasing vitamin D.
Yeah. And
haven't you grown the game? Your podcast and everything.
Podcast. Get to go to the beach.
How about when you go out and visit those little kids at schools? Don't you boost their life?
They love me. They absolutely love me. I think I got called Frodo the other day a few times for some kids out in Parramatta, which was nice.
Looks like our lives are really parallel, just 6 years apart.
There was one of my favourite parts of that interview, though. Just quickly, I want to go.
Oh, no.
Where the guy said, literally, he said you were the enemy and that you had to go clean your locker out that day. That was, like, just ruthless.
I think I remember a few quotes. One of the quotes was, Phil is now the enemy and will be treated as such.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
That was coming from Neil Craig.
Yeah, was it? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, he used so Craig used that line a year before on Nathan Bock as well. So I knew it was.
You knew
what
was coming.
I knew that one was coming. Yeah. Little did I know, I'd sort of made my mind up a week before, and I sort of obviously was drip feeding, cleaning out my locker. So my good friends realised that I was taking two or three items a day to make that last clean out a little bit more efficient.
Yeah.
But you know, I must admit, Adelaide were awesome to me, and it was a great time, and I understood that they had to get rid of me because I was of no use to them because I wasn't playing, and you know, they'd put a bit of investment into me as well, and I understand their frustration, and all I can say is I greatly enjoyed my time then, and but I love my time up here.
Yes, thank you, Adelaide. Alright, mate,
I haven't burned anyone there that wants to get angry at me for that, but we'll be right.
No, well, we are big in Adelaide this podcast, so be careful. Mate, so then obviously you've left the Crows, you've got that time off, and then it was moving to Sydney. Where do you start? Like, the club at that stage was really just you, because you were the first signing.
Yeah.
You didn't really know of anyone else coming. Where did you say you were going to go live? Did you move there straight away? Like, what happened?
Luckily, we had the Lamberts, who were in charge of welfare at that time. They basically told me how it was all going to work. Gubby and Stephen Silvani were there, but yeah, no other players.
Yeah.
Had no idea how that was all going to pan out. Obviously, knew a couple, like Jack Homsch was already here.
And
he was from South Australia. So there were a couple like that. And then,
one of the absolute gentlemen of the game. I've had the pleasure of playing footy with Homsch before. He's genuinely the nicest guy.
Yeah, we love
guy.
Jack. The only thing we don't love at the moment is how long his fringe is at the moment. Yeah. But he's in the Gold Coast, so we'll let that one slide.
Yeah, I reckon there's a bit of lemon juice in there as well.
There's a lot of lemon juice. He's got the old thinning, receding hairline.
And he's put the lemon juice in there.
So, but I spoke to him the other day. He got the feedback. He admitted that he'd had it trimmed.
Okay.
And I said, not enough. But he went down the same path again on the weekend. And they won, though. So, Jack, keep the lemon juice flowing up there.
Go, Jack.
So, yeah, we moved up here. Had no idea what was going on. I must admit, I think from memory, once that happened, I think I may have got a text from Wardy.
Ooh.
I think, can't remember actually, but there was communication at some point, maybe after, I can't remember exactly, but let's say timeline, it worked out quite well.
Yeah.
Did that, and then, yeah, moved up in November. And then, yeah, it was sort of, the Crows had just built a $21 million facility.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I think it was called the Westpac Centre. And I moved up here and I was in portables. trying on a baseball diamond. But it was crazy though, because like, you know, we were just so optimistic and positive and how excited it was. Like the first year sort of flew by.
Yeah.
Being out of Blacktown and having all these young kids and even getting flogged, like first year wasn't too bad. It was the second year that was the challenge.
Yeah, once the honeymoon period had sort of laid off.
Doesn't everyone love the honeymoon period? It's a great time in everyone's life.
It is.
But yeah, the second year was hard. We won one game. It wasn't until round 16 or 17. We actually started the year okay. Then Dill Shield called St Kilda old.
Oh,
and then
I
we lost
that.
By 100 points.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
Everyone started bullying Dylan and we had to protect him. That was a bit sad too.
That wasn't great, Dylan. He learned from that. So you come up here, you just said you spoke to Wardy. You guys are co-captains. Time flies by, but you guys have had a sort of a really, really good relationship over that period. For someone to come into the club, you know, I wasn't there from the start, but the way you guys work together is as good as I've seen. You both complement each other so well. What do you put it down to, I suppose, of, you know, like how you started a club with all these young guys? You and Wardy are only 20, 21 yourself, being captains, being co-captains, and having to try and build that and set the culture.
Yeah, I must admit, the start, Wardy and I probably wouldn't say we did a lot of captaining stuff. We're pretty fortunate. We had like Luke Power was the third musketeer in our first year, and he did a fair bit of the legwork, and then, you know, even from then on, you know, we were doing our best, but we were still quite young and learning. But, you know, you had Wardy on here the other day, and I must admit, by the way, he was very funny.
He was great.
He was great. It's not often we'd say Wardy's funny.
No.
But that was pretty exciting.
He was really funny.
But no, it's just worked really well. I think we've got a huge amount of respect for each other, and with that you can put away all the ego and all that and just do what you think's best, and we sort of have generally similar opinions, yet we can be completely different on things. So sort of just works that we just trust each other and just go with the flow, and neither of us are, you know, trying to grab anything personally. It's all about the team, and that seems to have worked pretty well. And you know, that's why it's so sad that he hurt himself on the weekend. Like, we all love him. He's a great man, and he's been so resilient for his whole time up here. And this will be a different type of resilience he's about to show. There's no doubt about that. And you know, his perspective and that post he put up was amazing.
Incredible.
So it's going to be a challenge for me personally, not having him there. I'm just so used to having him there. Obviously, he'll be Monday to Friday, but game day, he leads by example, and he's just ferocious. So we'll miss Wardy.
We will. We love Wardy. He's an absolute heartbeat of the club, and it's so sad. But, yeah, like you said, mate, his perspective is incredible. And I know he'll come back bigger and better. So shout out to Wardy. We love him. But it is funny that you do bring up the ego thing with the captaincy. And, you know, Wardy's been through what he's been through, but he's not getting out of this one. Both captains, both come up here, both got Range Rovers. It's a bit of an ego, isn't it? Like, right, Wardy's got the big Range Rover. You've got the small one. What's going on there? That's got to be a little bit of an ego thing by Wardy, just let's flexing a little bit there.
Let's make the story sound better. But so I just bought a little Discovery Sport just to get me from A to B because I didn't need a big car. And literally the next day, I rock up and he's got the big one.
Oh, no.
Same colour. And he parked it next to mine, and then he got the number plate.
Didn't he park it in front of yours so like you couldn't actually see your car in the car park?
Yeah, he boxed me in and with the number plate saying, got ya.
That is ego. It's fine.
And then all of a sudden, Wardy and I both got trumped by the next ego, Josh Kelly.
Oh, that's an ego, and it's all
bad. Had to get the newest model with the number plate, eat my dust.
You know the funniest thing about the Josh Kelly Range Rover story is, so Josh Kelly's bought a Range Rover, secret's out. But basically, the funniest thing is, if you know Josh, he's the worst person of making a decision in the world.
Correct.
So ever since I've been up here, he's been talking about this Range Rover. Gone and had a look at, you know, X amount of cars. The final thing, which is it's a rational decision, but the final thing that got him over the line to buy the Range Rover wasn't because he liked the car or wanted the car. It was because a physio said, it's good for your hips.
It was a throwaway line to say if you step up into a car, it might help your hips. And within 24 hours, he's bought a car.
So he literally had a little an Audi, which was a beautiful car. I asked him if he could give it to me. He said no. It was a beautiful car, quite low to the ground. He's then gone on, because he's had a bit of a sore hip, the physio said it might be a bit better, mate, to get a car that's a bit bigger. He went and bought a Range Rover.
Yeah, and the weird thing is all he did was walk in there with a suitcase. It was a very strange environment. But you wouldn't believe he's looking at houses now, so we'll see how long that takes him to buy a house.
Oh, seriously. It'll have a lift, no stairs. Mate, we love podcasts. I've got one, Dylan Friends. You've got one, The Footy Phil, which you chat with the boys about the team, the game, the review of the week. Absolutely great show.
A bit more boring than this, yes.
No. It's a fantastic show. It's pretty boring. Very insightful. Do you want to have a chat about what that is? What you sort of talk about? Alison Zell, got to give her a shout out.
Yeah, Zelly. Alison Zell basically keeps the ship afloat.
Yep.
Last year I did it because they asked me to do it, and we sort of just spoke all things Giants footy. Trying to branch out and make it a bit more interesting. Got a few guests now. It's going okay. It definitely doesn't have the uptake of Dylan Friends. It's going okay. Zelly is the reason why it's going well. We're probably going to do a show today, hopefully, with potentially Josh Kelly. We're waiting to see that.
That'd be good.
We're going to do a cross promotion with you, but we're going to save you for a few more weeks.
Yeah,
but,
get the big fella in
there. It's a bit of footy chat. Hopefully, a bit of take on all things footy, so it's not just Giants-centric, and hopefully other people might be interested in it.
Yes, 100%. Guys, check it out. Subscribe on iTunes. Give it a review. That's what we like. And while you're at it, give me a review.
Nice five stars.
That'd be nice. Mate, Giants, obviously, throughout your career, you've had a few injuries. It's made you a resilient person, but there was a certain injury that obviously was a big one, the kidney malfunction, where you obviously hurt your injury. Can you talk us through that and obviously how it happened and what it was like for you at the time?
Yeah, I probably get this story. I used to tell it, and it took me about an hour. So I've really got quite good at condensing it because I realised people got bored about 15 minutes in. And so now I get it down to about 2 minutes.
That's
okay. Basically, I was playing in a derby.
I'll give you 2.5.
I was basically playing in the derby against Sydney, and Craig Bird kneed me just under the right rib. And I thought he broke my rib. I was sore, couldn't breathe. Lightning came, had 20 minutes off. Went and saw the doc. They said, we think you got a broken rib. Anyway, I was like, okay, it hurts, but whatever. It's just a broken rib.
Mm.
Put this, the thinnest piece of protection you've ever seen on my body. Oh my, it was so embarrassing. Anyway, did that, played out the game, could barely run, felt horrific, but played out and was okay. Like, just short of breath. That was about the only symptom I had. And then...
did you think something was wrong at the time, or you just didn't...
I just thought I'd hurt myself and, like, broken rib. Maybe that's why I felt, like, winded the whole time, couldn't breathe. Finished the game, we celebrated. We beat Sydney for the first time. Was walking back to the Giants facility from Giants Stadium, and I was walking up. We've got this little rise out the front.
Yes.
Got my bag over my shoulder, and I couldn't pick up my bag, so I had to put it on my left shoulder. But I was walking up, and I just collapsed on the railing.
Shit.
Anyway, luckily, Nick French, our old physio, found me, came in, and I basically collapsed at the club. Called an ambulance, but they did my blood pressure, was all normal. They said, we'll take you to hospital just in case something's wrong. Hadn't gone to the toilet yet, which is an important part of kidney injuries.
Oh, I know this.
And then got to hospital, was all fine. So now we're talking. So it was a twilight game. So it's about 9, 10pm now. I'm just under observation. I'm all fine. Crashed at about midnight. Go to have a CT scan. I need to go to the toilet. Filled up one of those vomit things. 800 mils of pure blood. Had the scan. Like, yeah, you're in a fair bit of strife. Basically, two surgeries later, 8 days in ICU, 7 days in the renal ward, and I was released from hospital about 10 kilograms lighter. I'd ruptured my kidney, basically. Wow. And did that in the first, 5 minutes ago in the first quarter and played the game.
So they fixed it in the end? Have you got the kidney still?
Yeah, so I lost about 25% of it. So the first surgery fixed it for about 4 hours, and then it started bleeding again. And they actually told me, they said, this is actually one of the cool bits of the story was that I was going in for the second surgery and they said, hey, we'll keep you awake for it because it's better to do this breathing thing to plug it. But if the plugging doesn't work, we'll have to knock you out to take the kidney out. And I knew that if they took my kidney out, I was going to retire. I didn't want to play for my kidney.
Yeah, yet. Shit.
So I decided, oh, what are the chances? They're 50-50.
Oh my God.
I was like, okay. And they tried to push off the surgery for as long as possible because they wanted to see if I was actually just going to get better without more surgery. But then with that, I had all these other... I was starting to get, like, pneumonia and all these other issues from lying down for so long. So I wasn't going super well. So, like, we can't risk that anymore. We've got to take you in. But I said to them, I said, well, we're not doing surgery like that. You're either going to knock me out before we do it, because if you try to knock me out when you're fixing me because it doesn't work, I will try to punch you.
Yeah.
So they knocked me out.
Oh.
They said, you either wake up with a big scar down your guts or you won't. Woke up, looked down, no scar, and away we went. But it was quite fun. I looked like the Michelin Man. They put like 21 blood products into me, those bags into me, and I looked like the Michelin Man. One part of my body was like enormous and blue from all the blood clotting.
Yeah.
And it was a crazy time.
Far
and
out.
It wasn't great. I was hospital for 2 weeks, eight days of that in ICU. It's just my story I tell all the boys about.
It's resilience.
Yeah, just be like, guys, if you've got it, like Jacob Hobbit broke his finger a few years ago, I said, oh, that's cute. It was one of the worst fractures I've ever seen. I said, well, I played with a ruptured kidney, so come on, mate, don't carry on.
Seriously, I think going through that, you're allowed to go through that, man. That's an incredible story. I don't think, like, back then, I don't think that was really televised. Not televised, but it wasn't as...
It was sort of hidden relatively well.
Yeah,
I didn't really want people to talk about it. But it's quite funny. You talk about, like, just life. I sort of just dealt with it and, like, compartmentalised it. Never actually dealt with it and just kept moving forward and... I remember telling the story last year. It was the first time I ever spoken about it. And it was like really quite emotional because you just don't see what could have happened. You're just sort of a bit bulletproof and you just charge forward and you just go, let's just go after life.
Yeah.
And I never really put much time into it. And I'd obviously had a fair bit of psychological damage from it. But it was a big part of my 100%. Story. And, you know, it sort of changed my perspective a little bit on football, and it's important to remember that, you know, it's just a game and it's something that we choose to do that we love, and that was a very stark reminder of that for me.
That's it, man. And there's two things, like, you got to acknowledge that, obviously, like, you nearly could have died, really. Mm. So that's, like, the main thing. So obviously that gives you perspective. But the other sickening thing about this story is the way that you still play footy and mentally you can still put yourself in these positions is... I don't even know if it's a credit to yourself or you're just stupid. Like that's just something incredible. Like, how do you deal with that now? Have you found that when you got back, it was hard to do that? Or was that just the way you play?
Yeah, I looked like I was really fat when I got back because I wore this enormous kidney guard.
Yeah.
And I guess I was pretty lucky. About a minute into my first game back, we're playing against Northern Territory Thunder at Giants Stadium. And the ball went over my head. I just went back with the fly because I didn't think about it. It was the best thing for me. I got
crunched. Get it done straight away.
And then just...
Yeah.
Nick Maxwell actually spoke to me a few times during that period because he bruised his kidney.
Yeah.
He said the best thing is that you just don't think about it. And Tom Lonergan was awesome for me too.
Yeah.
And Glenn Bartlett, the president of Melbourne, they've all been through similar things. So, I don't know. I just don't really think. And I must admit, I don't think I'm very brave, but it's I just see the ball and I try to get it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to change it because last year I was pretty silly and just got myself knocked out when I didn't need to.
Yeah.
But
you don't want that.
I scare my beautiful partner Greta and my mum and my sisters and stuff. So I've got to really rein that in a little bit at times. But I guess it's just part and parcel of the game. And, you know, I always just try to keep up with water. You know, it's that ego thing.
Ego's driving it. It's an incredible story. About the kidney, and I was going to tell you a story about a kidney problem that I had, but I just don't know.
Was it a stone, was it?
I don't know if it's going to compare, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Basically, well, look, it's counseling. It's pretty much the same thing. Same values anyway. Different story, but same values. So basically, when I was at Carlton, it would have been probably early January, we were planning our footy trip because we knew when the dates were. anyway,
that for a few years too.
Got to the end of the year. And, we're going to Thailand. Pretty excited. So, it literally went from, we finished the year, BNF, Thailand, in, like, a week. So, you can imagine the boys are, you know, after a stressful year of not winning a game, you have a couple of beers at the end of the day. And being the young fella I am, I was trying to keep up, having, you know, two beers a night.
Yeah.
I was pretty run down. Pretty run down. So, we're going pretty hard. The season had finished. We're at the BNF. Literally from the BNF, the next morning we're flying out to Thailand. Footy trip.
It's a quick turnaround.
So I was like, okay, this is great. This is awesome. Off to Thailand. Anyway, I land in Thailand. We're in beautiful Koh Samui. By the way, I hate Koh Samui. It is probably the worst place I've been in my life. Not sure if it's because of this experience, but it sucked.
Phuket is so much better.
Yes. Anyway, so we're in Thailand and so we get to Thailand. We're obviously having some beers again. We're on a footy trip with the boys. Responsible drinking. Noble boys. One and split a six-pack between five of your mates, if you're listening at home. And we're having a good time. And, having a few beers. And I'm just like, you know, all the boys are going to have, like, a piss break. And I was like, this is weird. Like, I haven't taken a piss for, like, 12 hours. Yeah. And I've, like, literally had, like, at least one beer. And, got to the stage where that night I was starting to feel, like, a little bit sick. I had, like, a really bad pain in my back. I was like, oh, maybe he's just sitting on the plane for like that long. All the boys, you know, they're just obviously not helping me at all. They were not concerned. They were like punching me in the back and trying to make me drink more. And so I kept drinking. Anyway, I went to sleep that night and I was like, oh, I'm going to get worse on here. I've just got to cop it and go home and sleep. So I go home. I'm laying in bed. I'm literally shivering in my bed. Like, I didn't know what was going on. I was like, fuck it, I'm sick. Anyway, to this stage, I still haven't been to the toilet. Next morning, I was like, all right, we're up early.
Right now, as we stand right now?
No, I've had one now. Breakfast of champions. We're back down in the morning. And I'm sitting there again. All the boys are telling me how shit I am. Yeah, you suck. I was like, yeah, no, it's fair enough. Had another couple of beers. Still haven't been to the tour. Anyway, this happens for 3 days. I haven't taken a piss. And I'm like, I'm in some strife. Like, this is not good. The next morning, we're getting a boat to an island for a party. Okay. And I go, if I get on this boat to this party, like, I'm on an island, I've got no hospital, if this gets worse...
Hospitals aren't good in Thailand anyway.
No. So I've dead set literally just got on my phone, booked a flight, not told anyone, just flew home straight away. And that didn't go down well. That's another story. But basically, I'm on this plane.
Self-awareness.
I'm on this plane, and it's just after the Malaysian Airlines plane's gone missing. So I'm flying home with Malaysian Airlines. I'm the only bloke on the plane. So I'm laying down on five seats... It's all good. But the bloke comes past, sees me shivering on the plane because I'm in so much like pain. He wants to put me in quarantine. So I nearly got stuck in quarantine at Melbourne Airport. Managed to sweet talk my way out of it, get home, go to hospital, have some blood tests. Long story short, my kidneys are like failing. They've nearly shut down. I've no creatinine left like in them. I'm in hospital for 7 days. I've lost 10 kilos and I'm just laying in bed on a drip. They still don't know what happened. Like basically like my kidneys just shut down.
That is, wow, welcome.
So basically... It's the same story.
It is.
Courage.
That's worse.
Bravery.
Self-awareness.
Doing it for the teammates. Self-awareness. And...
I think your ability to stand up when you're copping, that's not a good environment to be bailing out of.
No, mate. Still haven't let it down, to be honest. I don't even know why I'm bringing it up because I've just stopped getting messages from Heath Scotland and calling me all types of names. And yeah, it was probably one of the...
You dodged death, though.
I dodged death, honestly. And people to this stage still... Scotland still just tells me that I was homesick and missed my mum.
Who wouldn't miss your mum? What a lady.
Hey, Jacob Hopper.
Hey.
What am I to say?
Start again.
You haven't told me what to say?
No, just answer what I'm saying.
Ah.
Hey, Jacob Hopper.
Hey, how are ya?
Hey, congratulations on your new contract.
Thank you, buddy.
Are you wrapped?
I'm super stoked.
Well done. And guess what is also good news for the Giants?
We have 25,000 members.
Wowee. And what's better than 25,000 members?
30,000 members.
If you want to sign up to be a Giants member, head to the website today and bloody sign up.
You little beauty.
Woohoo! Mate, podcasts. So we're on them. We love them. What are some of your favourite podcasts out at the moment?
Yeah, I listen to a couple. I really like JJ Redick. He's sort of basketball player. He's at Philly 76ers.
Yeah.
I listen to a bit of him. Howie Games, Mark Howard.
Yes.
I love sport, so I'm a bit of a sports addict. But
yep.
I Freakonomics. David Joyce.
I've heard that one.
Head of APU sends me a few good ones there. Joe Rogan. He's going for a little bit too long.
Yeah, too long.
A bit too long for me. But
I love him.
Lachie Keefe's obsessed.
Yeah.
So yeah, I listen to a bit of everything wherever I can. Yeah. Oprah Conversations, they're not bad if you want to get all philosophical about life as well.
Oprah's great. I haven't actually listened to any of those ones, but besides the Joe Rogan, they're awesome. I absolutely love those stories.
That includes the footy fill, I know.
So. No, the footy fill I definitely love. I'm going to tell you about a few about my favourite sports podcasts. Footy Phil, obviously, number one, covering all things Giants, reviews, chats and with teammates. I'm still yet to feature on that one, but hopefully soon.
There's a plan.
Mitch Robinson's got a podcast at the moment.
Yep.
Yeah, rip through it. Out. Chats all things news in AFL, super coach, etc. He's a bit of a whiz, Robbo. He plays
it's good, everything
Fortnite. And yeah. His setup in his house is absolutely incredible. I don't know how he did it, but
he's got it sorted.
Check that one out. It's absolutely unreal. Another up-and-comer, a couple of mates of mine back in Melbourne, they got a podcast called The Magoos. Two blokes that just have never played a senior game in their life, but they think they know everything about footy. It's absolutely hilarious. Check that one out. But the main podcast I listen to, Phil, and I don't know if you know this, I'm an absolute crime nuffy. Like, it's at that stage where like I was listening to crime podcasts when I sleep, having dreams about murdering people, and I had to stop doing it. It was getting a bit unhealthy. A couple of my favourite ones of those would be Serial. Have you heard of Serial?
So Adnan
Sayed, did he do it?
Did he not do it? Listen that one.
Not sure.
You still don't know.
It's absolutely incredible.
I think he did it.
Did you really?
Because
Jay threw him under the bus.
I know, his mate was a bad.
I just don't
choose your mates very carefully. What was it? Family by blood, mates by choice. So
yeah,
choose better, mate.
Jay, I don't know. That just kills me, that one. There's another one called Up and Vanish, season 2. It's actually incredible. It's really hard to follow, but basically they actually solve a murder case from the podcast.
That's cool.
So check that one out. It's called Up and Vanished. Another one called In the Dark. It's a bit sickening, but I'm a sick puppy and it's not well.
Teacher's Pet, you listen to
Teacher's Pet, yeah, but I love the Teacher's Pet, but I just literally feel like he told the same show 18 times.
Yeah, it was a bit slow, wasn't it?
It was good, but like I loved it.
They say repetition's the key.
Yeah, well, definitely got the message through. The Matty McCann, what the hell happened there? I actually have no idea.
I still saw the one on Netflix. I got to watch that.
Listen to the podcast. It's better.
Better podcast. That's good. I've got plenty of time in the car.
So, yeah, there are some really good crime ones. But, yeah, the crime ones, be careful, guys. I know it sounds bad, but I'm not going to kill anyone. I have thought about it, but like...
Yeah, because it stimulated that.
Yeah, exactly. The rational side of it kicks in, and I think, like, jail time, not worth it. With my figure going to jail, big guys would have a bit of fun with it.
Yeah, because you're a good-looking man.
And
look at those eyes.
Just not worth it for me at the moment. Mate, Phil Davis. Phil Davis is a busy man. Phil Davis is everything. Phil Davis is an AFL captain. He's a vice captain of the AFLPA. He's a podcaster. He's an expert commentator, real estate guru. What else do you do? You do everything. You love, like, what?
I used to be busier. I realised I had to cut down. No, I do uni.
Yes.
I'm just studying. I'm a massive nerd. Everyone knows I'm a nerd. I don't know. I'm just about life experiences. Like, you deal or try to do as much as I can.
Yes.
I must admit, I usually feel pretty lazy if I spend too much time with Matt DeBoer, so I try to avoid him.
Oh, he's crazy.
I like to hang out with Jacob Hopper and Josh Kelly and Adam Kenny.
They just cafe
like,
hop.
And they make me feel like I'm the most productive human being of all time.
Their idea of a productive afternoon is going to a cafe and having a coffee.
And if they read half a page of a newspaper, they've had a big, big day. But no, I don't know. I just like to keep busy. I'm trying to learn as much as possible. I've got this sad realization that I can't play football forever.
Yeah.
That sort of hit me about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And now I'm just trying to learn as much as I can.
So what do you think, like, you know, say in 5 years' time, right? Phil Davis.
Still playing.
6 years, sorry, seven years.
You'll go 7 years.
8 years' time. Let's say 8 years.
I think Wayne Campbell's listening to this. He's giving out 5-year deals at the moment, so let's both get on. I'm only.
Oh, no, I prefer 1-year deals. They're great. 1-year rookie deals are awesome. I just love not knowing what the...
Everyone wants that.
I just love not knowing what... Yeah.
Planning's overrated.
Living, like, day to day, just not knowing what you're doing in your life.
Maybe it's a borrowed
money. So 8 years' time, we'll say 8 years. What can we see you doing? What's a goal right now? The vision.
I'll probably be in a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You look good in a suit.
Yeah, I'll probably just be suited up.
You reckon you have that haircut with a suit, or you go back to the short?
But as I said, my partner Greta, she likes long hair.
Ooh.
And I'm not big on long hair, and I'm not sure if it's very corporate-y. But no, I'll step away from football for a bit and just try to learn some general business skills.
Yeah, life skills.
And then I do love sports, so I'd love to get back in there somehow, whether it be on the administration side or not. I'm not sure, but.
I can see you just doing a bit of everything, to be honest. Like, I can't see you doing one thing. I think
consultant would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see you as a bit of like a
jack of all trades, master.
Yeah, man. Like look at Juddy. Like, that guy just does everything. Like, he's a commentator. He's on a board. He owns like 6 businesses.
Jagged.
I think he sold Jagged. But
oh, did he? Oh, Wardy's still involved.
Wardy's still involved. Go Jagged. Yeah. So maybe something like that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Another thing that I love about you,
oh, no,
is your vocab.
Oh.
Do you, this is for once more, do you have a word of the day? Because I feel like sometimes you have like this one word that like I have no idea what it is, and you use it like 3 or 4 times. Yeah. Is it like a word of the day thing, or is it like you read the dictionary and you just think that's a cool word, I want to use it?
I used to cop a lot of shit from a good mate of mine that he reckons I used to just make up words or just use big words because I thought that made me sound smart.
They do, though.
That person's a sesquipedalian, for those that are interested at home, and I have been known to be called that. But it's funny you say that, because yesterday I was just doing some uni and I found my two favourite words at the moment are erroneous
and
disparate. Disparate. And they're just erroneous just means incorrect, basically.
Okay.
So I'm going to use that
erroneous
today.
That's erroneous.
I'm going to use it today in a meeting and be like, let's not talk about this erroneous data.
Yeah,
because it's got
that.
Nothing to do with it. But I like words. But the sad thing about using big words is they say the smartest people can make complicated things sound easy. I make simple things sound complicated. So that's the thing I've got to work through.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a very cool quote. I like that. I might write that down. That was good.
I can see you typing away for another thing.
We did touch on the beautiful Greta before. We love Greta. Greta is your partner. She's an absolute stunning human. I've had the pleasure of hanging out with her with you, and we play games, and she's just a beautiful girl. How'd you guys meet?
It's just a fairy tale love story, really. No, she was helping a friend out at a function, and then I met her there, and I may have dilly-dallied for a while. I'm not sure if that was coming up. I should just beat the punch, but I stuffed that one up a little bit. But then I came crawling back and wooed her, ruined the second date, and then had to start wooing all over again. But I think I finally wooed her after a few years.
How did you stuff up the second date? What did you do? I actually don't know this.
Oh, no, but no. We just went to Messina and I made a throwaway comment, and she thought I was an arrogant dude. And it was so tongue-in-cheek, but she just didn't know my humour yet.
Okay.
And it was a bit sad.
That's good. You obviously... You've moved to Bondi now. You're living in North Bondi.
Yeah.
Beautiful spot. Would you say North Bondi has made you vegan, or would you say Greta has made you vegan? For all that don't know, Phil is experimenting with his...
I just limit the amount of, especially red meat, but just meat in general. I don't eat as much as I used to.
And it's pretty much because of study and the documentary.
Yeah, I watched Cowspiracy and that, and it didn't make me go off it completely. It was just more of a bit of an awareness of our impact on the environment.
Yeah,
I must be getting old if I'm worrying about things in the future, but yeah, I don't know. I just have limited how much I eat now, but Greta was a bit of an influence on that. Yeah. She's a vegetarian now, which means at home sometimes there's not too much meat going around the house.
Yeah, well, my house is a bit the same. Justine is, she limits her meat intake. I still eat meat. I'm pro, like, all the the animal cruelty, like that.
Yeah, yeah, the ethical side of it. Yeah,
I mean,
you're like, you believe in supporting the fact that animals have got rights. And yes, feelings yes. And all that. Yep.
Bloody oath. Like, I love animals. You all know I love my dog so much. Would never eat her, but I'm probably just going to cut this out, to be honest, because I just don't know what I'm saying.
Hello, Ryan. But yes, so I'm vegan because of Greta, but it's just a small aspect of my life.
We love animals. Being as smart as you are, you said before you like to look smart. Is it true you are actually not blind, you just wear glasses to look smart?
My prescription is 00, so I've got 20/20 vision. No, unfortunately, you know, it was a really tough process wearing glasses, because when I started wearing glasses, I was in about year 10. And like, it's not a good
wasn't
time.
Wasn't cool back then.
No, it was definitely not cool.
Year 10's not cool.
And I used to have to hide them in my pencil case. And then I'd whip them out when no one was watching in class so I could read the board. And then, it's been a tough... And then I didn't wear them early days of my career, because if you wore glasses, you got bullied.
Mm. Yeah, it happens.
And now I wear them, but luckily some, like, Brody Grundy's a good player and he's... like,
he wears them.
And he wears them, so therefore, like, I think I can just ride on his coattails and not get away with it. But
he does what he wants.
The glasses and the hair get some pretty strong feedback most weekends when I play.
Be yourself, man. Everyone else is taken.
Oh, I love that quote. I've never heard... Oh, I've heard that before.
It's on some podcast.
Every time, I love it.
Who's bigger in Adelaide? You, Danger, or Eddie Betts?
Geez. Eddie's 300 this week. I'll rank them in order. It'd go Betts, Davis, Dangerfield.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Danger's
old. He's from Moggs Creek.
Yeah, he's Moggs Creek.
He didn't rock up to Adelaide for a year because he wanted to stay at school. Nerd.
Would you say you have the third bluest eyes at the club behind Josh Kelly, then myself?
I would say I've got number one, and then I'd say you've got number two, and I'd say Josh is a barely blue, but he will do whatever it takes.
Yeah, he's a coward. In Sydney, we love to eat out. We love eating out a lot. We go to, you know, restaurants, as people do.
Love to eat.
There's a certain story about a night when you were eating ramen and went for a walk down an alleyway. Can you please tell us about this story?
All right, so I'd never done ramen before, and I went and David.
What is ramen, by the way?
Ramen it's like Japanese.
It's like a crappy pho. I love pho, but a ramen
pho mess. Correct. I got told, this is the Japanese version of pho. Yada yada yada. David Joyce, head of APU,
great man,
one
David.
One of the great people. Really loves his ramen, and he's got Josh Kelly on it, and you know whatever. So. I've been invited for my first ever ramen event, and we've gone out to the city in this random little restaurant. I think Dutch, Matty DeBoer was there, Hopper, Kelly, Joyce and myself. We went there. I went and had ramen. I had about four mouthfuls, thought it was rubbish.
Yeah.
Because this was, anyway, I think I ordered a bad ramen. And then at the end of the day, they said it wasn't
that good.
Can't get
a good one.
Whatever. Anyway, we're walking back to the car, and I sort of, a relatively quick walker. So I'd got out in front of the boys, and I had to wait a bit, and you know when you just nonchalantly rest against the building, you just sort of like you put your hands in your pocket and you just lean back against the wall.
Yeah.
So I've gone to use that move because I'm pretty cool.
Yeah. Yes.
And for some reason I've missed the wall and fallen back through a doorway. And tripped over the doorway.
In the back of the restaurant?
No, like I've gone down. It's ended up being like the little galley going into the thingo. Really hurt my ass. My coccyx bone was bruised, but it was... Oh, gee, it was embarrassing.
Was this in front of like a lot of people or just the boys?
I think there were a few people around, but the boys all saw it.
There's nothing worse than falling over in public, man.
And my hands
were
in my pocket. So imagine like... And also, I'm not...
You can't fall over and look cool.
I'm not graceful either. So not being graceful and falling over... With your hands in your pockets. It was very... The worst thing is Matty DeBoer, who we've mentioned before, has this intensity that we've never seen before life.
He's the best.
He sent like four emails before we've left seeing if he could get the CCTV footage of the event.
God. Did he get it?
Couldn't get it.
Oh my God.
God, gee, that was a rough night. Yeah.
No more ramen.
No, ramen's been retired.
Filthy, it's been absolutely incredible, mate. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope you enjoyed it.
Mate, it's been real. It's been good. It's been real good. That's for Paddy Cripps. And Saggy Fish at the...
Mate, thank you so much for coming on. You've done it all. Can't wait to see what is in store for you the next 9 years and further on. It's going to be incredible. Very, very, very happy that I can call you a friend. And, mate, thanks again.
Dylan, thank you for this great honour. You're a star.
Thank you. You heard it there first. I am a star. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the show. Hope you enjoyed it. The Dylan Friends podcast is produced by me, Dylan, and is edited by my great mate, Ryan Miller. To keep notified on the release, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever else you listen. If you want to see more of myself and the podcast, please follow at Dil Buckley and at Dylan Friends on Instagram. And if you want to contact me directly, please email dillandfriends@outlook.com. And don't forget to be yourself because everyone else is taken.
Legitness.
Yeah, it was.